I'm Ann Lindsay, Assistant Professor of History at the University of Central Florida, and you are listening to the Riches Documentary Podcast. Welcome to the Riches Documentary Podcast. Riches, the regional initiative for collecting the histories, experiences, and stories of Central Florida, is an umbrella program housing interdisciplinary public history projects that bring together different departments at the University of Central Florida with profit and nonprofit sectors of the community in order to promote the collection and preservation of the region's history. By facilitating research that records and presents the stories of communities, businesses, and institutions in Central Florida, Riches seeks to provide the region with a deeper sense of its heritage. This series will feature a podcast every 2 weeks, in the middle and at the end of each month, that will explore various aspects of Central Florida history. In today's episode, the home of Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune, Margaret Simonet guides us through the home in which one of Central Florida's most well-known women resided. Join us as we walk down the hallways where many of Dr. Bethune's ideas were formed.
Our show segment today is focused on taking a look at the original home of Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune. Dr. Bethune's home is located on the campus of Bethune-Cookman University in Daytona, Florida. Our guests include Ms. Margaret Simonet, director of Dr. Bethune's home, and Dr. Nancy Long, historian and author of Life and Legacy of Mary McLeod Bethune. Let's start by having each of you tell our listening audience who you are.
My name is Margaret Simonet, and I am the director of the Mary McLeod Bethune Foundation. This is actually the home of our founder, Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune, and it is now a museum on campus. But my interest also, I'm a graduate of Bethune-Cookman.
Excellent. What is your degree in?
In elementary ed and psychology.
Okay. Well, my name is Nancy Zerini Long. I actually have been here at Cookman for almost 20 years. I've been a teacher for over 36 years, and hate to admit that. Basically, I am a full-time professor with tenure here, and I, when I first got hired, I have to tell you, I knew very little about the college itself, the history, and the founder. And I was taking a course at UCF, and we were required to, it was a Black history course, Black literature course, and I wanted to do some research on Zora Neale Hurston and who had taught at the school, and also Mary McLeod Bethune. And I guess that's what got me started, because as part of the course, I went out and started to interview elderly people who had firsthand knowledge of Dr. Bethune and of Zora Neale Hurston.
Very impressive resumes from the both of you. Dr. Simonet, how did you become the director of Dr. Bethune's home?
Well, I actually, it's kind of weird, I actually worked in the house as a student, and then when Mrs. Bronson was then the director, and when she left, I was asked if I would become the director, because I jumped at the opportunity.
Congratulations.
Oh,
now, the buildings that are on campus, are those the original buildings, the majority of them?
They've been renovated, you know, some of them have been renovated naturally, but I like the foundation built in 1915. And I think it, in the late, or the, around 1950, she actually had an annex built onto it, just a small brick area where she had wanted to store her papers. And that's when they called it, started to call it the foundation, because she wanted to have the records and her writings and all that. Basically preserved and stored in that section of the foundation. The foundation itself had fallen into great disrepair, and just in the last 2 years, the school was able to acquire an ECHO grant, and they've been working on renovating it. It's still not open, but it's getting close to opening, but it was really in very bad shape.
The memorabilia that's in her home, you were talking about letters. Are these like personal letters, professional letters? I mean, do these letters give you a real good insight into who she was as a person?
Yes, because out of those, you could come over to there and actually go through the papers. There, some of them are personal, some of them where she's writing and asking people to help her with the school. Some of them are where she's talking about lynching and you know, so it's a lot of things out of that. If you come, you would really get an insight into who Dr. Bethune was.
Now, is this the original location of the home?
Yes. This house was actually not built for Dr. Bethune. The house was built in 1914, and it was actually built by Mr. Redrick, who was a black contractor down in the Daytona Beach area, building homes on the beach side. And when he left, the house was then bought by Mr. Gamble from Procter & Gamble and Mr. White from White Sewing Machine, gave Mrs. Bethune the money to purchase the house. She actually lived in the house from about 1915 or so to 1955 when she died. And she actually died right in the house.
So the house was originally built on the location that it sits now?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And the house right now, right this minute, we're doing a renovation of the house. We're trying to it's going to be almost as good as what it was when it was brand new. We have we got a grant from the state, and then to finish it up, we got a grant from the county. So we're almost finished, and in January we'll be back in the house, officially back for tours again through the house. And when you come to the house to do a tour, you'll actually be seeing all of her personal items.
Is it going to be changed in some way?
No, the house actually, the changes that's going to be in the house, which let's say if when someone came there in 1955 and they come now, they would see that the house, we had to bring it up to code. So we had to put in like sprinkler system and then security in there. You would also see, so the security would probably be one of the chief things that would be outstanding. But because we were bringing it up, and so some like electrical work, we had to bring that up to code. Because it was okay as long as nothing was happening, but once you start doing the repairs, you had to bring it up to code.
Exactly.
Someone who has never been in that house before will not know that they're not walking through the house as it was 1955. We have really, what we did, the wood on the outside, the exterior of the house, that was sent to be milled, and that's milled the same size as the original wood. So you can't tell the difference between the new one and the old one.
Now, is this a special group of people that strictly work on renovating historic homes?
Yes.
Or okay. Mm-hmm. So they were able to find, like, some of the original, like, wallpapering and...
Well, there's not too much. There was some wallpaper in the house, but yes, we got a guy who did some of the work on the wall. He actually liked what was there.
Wow.
We have been really, really fortunate, and the guy who's doing it, he is doing a really, really good job. At, his name is Roger Dalton, and he's doing a really good job at that. I mean, and he's taking painstakingly doing things. He's really, really one of these persons who believe it should be done just right. And yesterday, someone who knew that house as a child came through there, and he said he got goose pimples because it looks so good. Mm-hmm. The floors, the floors are actually all wooden floors. So that's really just in itself a really beautiful thing. And Roger had a guy come in to work on the floors, and he didn't do it to Roger's expectation. Roger fired him and got there on all fours and did that floor over.
Now, where did she live before the house was purchased by Gamble?
Right. The house, where she was actually right on campus on Faith Hall, which was then a three-story wooden structure with Mrs. Bethune on one floor, students on one floor, and one floor was the classrooms.
Wow. Does
she... She moved there. She came here and started the school in 1904, and about 1907 is when she moved on the site.
What was the thought behind making her home a historic site?
Because of who she was. When you think about it, Mrs. Bethune was at one point basically considered the mother of the black race. And you're probably talking about blacks here in America more so than anywhere else. And she did a lot of activism for blacks. And so that became one of the moving parts behind it. You could go back and document how much things she has done. So it wasn't difficult to be able to get her home to be named to the historical home sign register.
Excellent. Now, how is, and I know this may be a simplified question, but how is the house being used on campus?
The house is only used as a museum, nothing else. What we do in there is just that. We give you tours of the house. You could go through, and like I said, we take you through and tell you who used which room. You'd be able to see all of these things, tons of plaques and photographs and her personal papers. You can, you know, if you make an appointment, we could arrange for you to see those. Now you just don't, you could just walk up and let's say you could get a tour of the house. You can't just walk up and then get in to see her personal papers like that. Yeah, that the house is nothing more than a museum on campus. Students, freshman students, when the house, they have to come through and kind of get a feel for who Mrs. Bethune was, how hard she worked to have that school there today.
What would be the historic significance of Dr. Bethune's home opposed to, say, the founder of Florida A&M? Is it, like you said earlier, because of who she is?
Mm-hmm. Who she was. And our school is still a private black college. So you probably would have that as a difference, too. Here, and there is another one that was started by a black woman that is still in operation, right off the top of my head. But we may be the only black school that was started by a woman that is still in existence. She's buried right outside of her house. And so her grave site and her home became a part of that whole foundation thing.
Was that her request?
Yes.
To be buried,
mm-hmm,
by her home?
Mm-hmm. That was her request.
Now is her son buried there also?
No, that's just her grave is there. Her son is buried in Daytona Beach, but not on campus.
Now, for someone who has not seen Dr. Bethune's home, how would you physically describe it?
Okay, it's a wooden structure. The house, when you walk through the front door, you're coming into her front room, where we have her furniture that's still there. We have a dining room with gorgeous, gorgeous antique furniture. And then downstairs, if you continue, you would be going into a kitchen and a breakfast nook, and then you'd come around into her office. If you go upstairs, as you go up the steps, you have bedrooms are all upstairs. So there are five bedrooms, up there, including the room that she slayed in and the her guest room where Eleanor Roosevelt slept. Her son's room is there, which was actually occupied by her son, grandson, and great-grandson. Uh-huh. Then there's another bedroom that her niece lived in for a long while.
Okay.
And like I said, in all these rooms, in there's still all the original furniture. One of the bedrooms we have with a whole lot of the photographs in there, so you could come in and see the photos.
Was it considered a middle-class home for both blacks and whites, or was it considered?
It probably was more middle-class than anything else, because in the area, I was told that there was a doctor living right there, actually not right where now it is part of the campus. There was a minister and the owner of property. You could not be the poorest person.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so.
To view the home. And I know you spoke about this a little bit earlier, but could you give us the times someone could actually come in and view, or who would they contact if they wanted to look at her letters or, you know, just do a little bit more research?
Okay. If you want to come in, you need to call me, Margaret Simonet, and my number is 386-481-2122. Or you can email me at simonetm@cookman.edu. We conduct tours Monday through Friday from 10 to 4. And when we open back up in January, we'll be starting tours on Saturdays from 10 to 2.
Excellent, excellent. That's very important because you want as many people coming through the museum as possible.
That's right, and we need to start that, you know, in a big way again because we're now reopening and want people to see the house.
Is there a cost to coming into the museum?
We're probably going to have to now start charging. It probably will be, it's going to be, I'm sure, a very minimum amount, probably about $3 for adults and $1.50 for children. It's not, we haven't totally worked that out, but it's going to be a very little amount. And when school children come in through, let's say, in a school group, I'm still thinking that we probably won't charge for them and just go on, still go on the fact that if they want to leave a donation, like if the school brings the children, they want to leave a donation to bring, give a donation. Because we would not like for any child to come there and say, I didn't come in because I couldn't afford to come in.
Excellent.
You know, so that's very, very important on the minds of everybody at the Sloan Cookman. Because we know that Mrs. Bethune would have liked any child to be turned away.
Now, as far as the upkeep of the home from once the restoration is completed, mm-hmm. is the school funding the upkeep from that point forward, or is the museum depending on donations from outside sources?
No, the school really takes care of the museum. When the house first became the foundation, it was actually independent from the school. But that didn't last because after Mrs. Bethune's death, there was really nowhere for money to come into the foundation. There was nobody there because she would have been doing all the fundraising for the museum at that time. And so the board of trustees decided that the Bethune Cookman should just be the upkeep, and so that's how the school then took it over.
We could go on forever, but our time is up. My name is Patrick Anderson, and I would like to thank our special guest, Ms. Margaret Simonette, Director of Bethune Foundation, located on the Bethune-Cookman campus, and Dr. Nancy Long, author of The Life and Legacy of Mary McLeod Bethune.
Thank you for listening to the Riches Documentary Podcast. Feel free to contact us with any questions or comments on the program that you just heard. Please join us for the next episode, Women of Many Hats, the Rossiter Sisters of O'Galley, Florida.